Blog Talk Radio.
Aliens to visit this planet because of the technology that was created
through Atlanteans. And the idea of influences go back and forth, not just the idea of being influenced ourselves and just being a part of the whole, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, when we sort of look at the situation, I'm your host, Psychic X-Journey Man. My friends call me Donnie. This is my show, Psychic X-Journey Man, Spiritual Link, where we're constantly doing readings, and you can join us on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, and on Tuesdays and Thursday nights when we do nothing but 2 hours of readings. This morning we can also call in here if you want to get a reading too. We were doing the three card angel readings and doing a little bit of past life regression readings. We get a little glimpse in the past. So if you want to take advantage of that and call us this morning, give us a call here at 646-721-9031. Also, I do private readings as well. And if you want to reach me for private readings, they go like this. Right now, for a March special, we're actually having 60-minute readings for $33.33. For 40-minute sessions, they're $22.22. And for 20-minute sessions, they're only $11.11. We also have a one-card angel reading, which takes about 15 minutes. That's where we take one card and do a reading for you. Right now, for March, they're only $9.99. Also, if you want to do a party or maybe a group reading, which is actually 5 or 10 of your friends, we have all kinds of ways of doing these things. First of all, the group readings, we can either come in person, of course, or we have a new thing that we're doing right now where they say that you're in Washington State and I'm here in Colorado. Well, I can still be there at your party. All you need to do is set up a laptop. I set up my laptop, and we do it via Skype. People could sit down at the table and do a reading with me. It's really cool because I actually have a couple of cameras here where we can see all kinds of angles. So we basically can see the whole reading as it unfolds in front of you. And usually those go, and then we have another one on Skype where it's called a group video call where, let's say you have 5 or 10 of your friends scattered throughout the United States or even in Europe and those kind of things. We can actually go on Skype and all your friends, you tell your friends all to call it. Well, actually, it's the information of transferring information about Skype names and Skype numbers. But we communicate, you know, we call each other, and I initiate the conference call, and we sit there and do a group reading. And all you need to do is, like I said, just have the information. Everybody can come on. We all pop up on the screen. It's really cool. And everyone gets a 40-minute reading. And those are usually going for $150, one flat fee shot for those group readings and parties. But right now, for the March special, you can get that for only $77.77. So check that out, too, as well. We like to get that going because I think it's really going to be one of those things that could be really fun. So give us a call at 740-500-8863 or via Skype. It's 740-601-9835 or contact me through my website, which is www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Also, you can sponsor the show for a simple fee of $40. That's right. You can sponsor the show, get your product or yourself promoted as well. And it's only a $40 fee. That's $40 a month for sponsorship to actually get you and your product advertised, in which we actually do that here, and which I'm going to do here in a second, to actually promote the sponsor that we already have. But we're still looking for sponsorship. And also the same thing, too, if you want to advertise the show. It's only a simple $40 a month fee, and you can advertise on the show, too, as well. So give us a call at 740-500-8863, also 740-601-9835, or website is www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Also, I work with children and family. I'm also a relationship counselor, and I'm also a life coach. So if anybody was deal with those things, too, because we also have 90-minute to 2-hour sessions that are only going for $77.77 right now for life coaching and relationship counseling, which we also, in those sessions, we also use the angel cards, too, where we do at least 2 angel card readings for you in that 90-minute session. So it's a really good deal, because the ideal for $77.77, you can actually get the ideal of sitting down and working and getting some details and insights to your relationships or life coaching or some directions. But we also sit down and do an angel card reading to you for it. It's a 7-card full-fledged reading. That's about 40 minutes in itself. So check that out. Give us a call, 740-500-8863 or 740-601-9835, or go to the website, www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Also, like I said before, our sponsor, I'd like to give an acknowledgement to our sponsor. His name is Richard Flanga. He has a website called DivineBodyWash.com. And I recommend it highly. Go to the site. It's called DivineBodyWash.com. And right now, and what he's doing for our listeners is let me take a deep breath real quick. It's been one of those crazy days already, you know. Go to the website, DivineBodyWash.com. Check out his products. And what he's doing now is for all the listeners who donate $25, he will give you a bottle of body wash. And for each person who donates $35 or more, he will fill in a bottle of body mist. So go check it out. It's going to be fantastic. It's great products. They're all made to your specification, what you're going through in your life and that kind of thing. It's really fantastic. That is DivineBodyWash.com. That's Richard Flanga. We really thank and appreciate Richard. He came in with sponsorship at the right time. And believe me, we appreciate timing itself. I'm telling you, divine timing is always there working for you. And this is one of those situations. And Richard is a very great, fantastic man. So check out his website, DivineBodyWash.com. And like I said, for the listeners, for each person who calls in and donates $25 to this show, he will give you a bottle of body wash. And for each person who donates $35 or more, he will throw in a bottle of body mist. So check it out. Also, Henny Sync CDs. Check out these CDs. Go to www.henny-sync.com. You'll love it. These CDs really help me with my meditations and focus and that kind of stuff. And when you go to the website, you'll notice they have CDs and DVDs for about any ailments you can think of. It's really cool and it's really great. So check it out. That's www.psychicxjourneyman.com. You'll love it. Also, another company these are actually subliminal CDs, which I recommend highly, because the website actually tells you what's on those CDs before you even buy them, so you don't think you're getting all kinds of crazy things in your Bible. Some of the messages that they're sending, they tell you, they show you, and they help you understand how the technology works, so you can get the best out of it. That one is www.brainsync.com. Again, that's www.brainsync.com. And also another company real quickly is straighttalk.com. Go check out that whole thing. I mean, I loved it because the idea of dropping my bill down to $150. I was paying $150, almost $200 a month for my phone, supposedly for unlimited service. Okay. And what I found out later on was, if I call a landline, they're going to charge me. I said, how can you charge me? I have an unlimited plan. They said, well, it doesn't cover landlines. So then I went to straighttalk.com. Actually, you can go to your local Walmart store and get you a heck of a deal, too, as well. And it was funny that when they say $45 for unlimited everything, they mean it. And it's not like your local, or not like your other cell phone company that charge you taxes and international taxes and charge you taxes for Venus and the light that comes through and anything they can think of, right? So go check it out, straighttalk.com. Anyway, let's get to our callers. And this morning we're talking about Atlantis. Atlantis is one of those things that I feel like is a very fascinating subject because I think it was one of those things where the person who first brought it to our attention might have fabricated a little bit on the whole thing for drama purposes, but I think he was actually telling the story of a real place, a real continent, and those kind of things. So we have a couple of callers in the queue, so let's bring them on and let's answer some questions, and as we're answering the questions, we're going to discuss the subject of Atlantis, and the possibility, is it something that was, or is it still real? It could be proven. All right? So let's check it out. Let's go to our first caller, which is, let's see here, area code 415. You're on the air. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Yes. Hi. Good morning. Thank you for taking the call.
Oh, no problem. And what's your name?
My name is Teresa. I didn't realize this. I know it was about Atlantis and stuff, but I was just wondering if there was a chance you can tell me what my spirit guides are telling me today. I had a lot of news last night, and I was just like, even in my dreams, and I was just wondering if you had any messages for me.
Well, one thing that comes through to me is the idea of listening. Listen? Oh, okay, I don't like this. Sometimes I get chills in my back, so I got to sit here and regroup, okay?
Sure.
The thing I got the most was is the idea of listen, watch, and follow through. It's the ideal that everything you saw was true. And the things that you knew that you need to follow through, it's one of those, it's follow through as soon as possible. If not today. You know, the situation is a lot of things that are going on, especially with your dreams, they're going to continue and maybe even get more intense. I actually feel like they are going to get more intense.
Well, what's interesting is one of the visions or dreams that I had was working at a university back east. I don't want to mention the university, but I had a vision about possibly applying for that position.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know if it's even still available, but I had a vision of it. And I was just wondering, when you said follow through on it, what?
Yeah, because sometimes the situations are following through with things. You can't always see the whole, everything unfolding right in front of you. But once you make the steps and follow through with it, you will. And you understand why. Because there are a lot of things that I know right now I'm going through. That I knew I was drawn to a place. I knew I got a lot of pushing and prompting to go here. So therefore I made the trek and did it. And it was, I always tell people, too, it's kind of amazing how certain things fall into place where you should look at those, too, as reinforcement of what you're doing. As, for example, my trip back to Colorado came across very quickly because of the opportunity came to go. I didn't pay for it.
Well, you were meant to be there.
Right. So something came through and said, here you go. Now, I've gotten to a point right now, I'm actually staying in a hotel waiting for the rest of it to fall into place. But, you know, there's a couple, I wouldn't say days, I'd say every once in a while, like a 15-minute time frame where you'll be sitting there going, what if certain things don't fall into place on a certain day? And that's when they come in and say, then pull your journals out, and you already have affirmations, you have certain things that are written down. Even to the point that you know what you want to accomplish here. So therefore, that's what you need to focus on. You know, don't focus on the lack of. Focus on what you're trying to obtain. Also be grateful for this moment right now. What's going on with you, man? How do you feel? It's like 12 o'clock at night. Do you need to make a decision right now? No. And why are you freaking out? It's like when you hear guidance, follow through with it fully. If you don't, then sit back and just be and enjoy the moment.
Well, what was really interesting is when I saw the position, I felt my spirit just soar, like, oh, my God, wouldn't that be ideal? You know, it was the first thing that I was like, I could have jumped out of my chair when I saw it. I was like, oh, man. You know
right.
when something's just perfect?
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, wow, you know, and I realized how much energy it gave me. You know, just the idea of doing it. And I, you know, obviously it really appealed to me and it resonated with me, but I actually thought I was going to a different location. So I was just wondering if you had any insight around that or what my guides were telling me about that.
So where approximately is this?
Back east. It's
back
in the east coast, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. I just saw some references to like a. I'm so freaked out because I do a lot of work on these other psychic companies where it's like, you know, if people pay for a lot of time, they run out, and then I got to sit there and wait. Is it going to call back or whatever? Then I've done, you know, work with those companies for so long that when I'm talking on my show, I have a tendency to think, oh, I got to hurry up, or we're going to run out of time when we got an hour and 40 minutes. So I was trying to relax because this morning there's been a lot of energy and the idea of getting used to this place. So I just went back. I was in Ohio and I moved to Colorado, so there's a 2 hours difference. So I'm still trying to get used to that 2 hour difference. And plus Manitou Springs, I don't know if anybody has ever got any information or anything like that about Sedona in Arizona, where the vortexes and that kind of stuff. Well, Manitou Springs is the same thing too as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just the idea of getting used to the energy where, it's almost like plugging into a freaking
Well, it's funny you say that because I feel like it's right on my line. You know, it's just like mm-hmm. a good energy vortex for me, you know?
Well, I mean, I just feel like with the situation you're talking about, I think, you know, that there is a move and there's a lot of energy and there's also a lot, not just one, but it seems like there's several moves with this situation. And the thing that came to me most was, it was almost like I heard the guides and like Angel Center going, why would she ask a question if the position's open? Why would we give her a debt if it wasn't true? Because that's what I was, the one thing we were teaching on the show one night, listen to the word or the statement, second-guessing yourself. In that statement alone, you should catch yourself and say, okay, so guidance is the first thing that comes through. Yes. Or when you wake up in the morning. I actually was pulling out this one thing for you, too. It's a prayer. I don't know, you might have it already, but it's one of, I need a desk. Here we go. It's this. It's a prayer like that. I should use this more often myself because they have me write this in my journal so that I don't write anything in my journal that's not there for a reason. It basically says, Archangel Michael, please enter my dreams and replace my faith and trust. Okay, I'm sorry. Let's read that one more time. That doesn't make sense to you. Archangel Michael, please enter my dreams and replace fear with faith and trust. Let me be filled with strength, courage, and confidence. Thank you. It's very simple, right to the point.
That's
also
interesting. It's obvious, you know that, hang on, let me say this again. It's interesting when you're saying these things because I actually have been doing that prayer. I've been asking for courage. I've been asking for strength. I've been asking St. Michael to bring me to my perfect self-expression.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a lot of messages about relocating. And I actually thought I was going to relocate to New York. And then something came mm-hmm. up in another state that's in the New England. And I was like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, obviously there's family members to consider too. But
right. But
I was just like, wow, what a great thing, for me. It's just like
right.
really kind of excited. And I was like, oh, okay. And so I do think I'm going to be relocating. And, I hear what you're saying. You wouldn't have found it if it wasn't available.
Oh, yeah. And see, one thing I understand with people, too, is the idea when you do get guidance, you have a tendency to question it. When I was living here the first time, my second shop, it was a little dinky little place. But after I looked at my resistance and realized it was guidingly divided and let it unfold naturally, it made perfect sense. It was just the resistance I was putting up and saying, well, it's small. I was looking for a shop like I had before,
uh-huh.
and which I had a partner then. And they said, my guys Angel came to me and said again, and said, hey, you know something, the situation's going on. You're having a time with the partner because you're starting to not trust this person. So therefore, you need to sit there and walk away. And a lot of people got freaked out too because when I walked away, I was making some really, really good money. And I told him, I said, but if I can't do my work and I don't feel comfortable, then it's kind of working against me. And so I went out here and had all these expectations in my head. A couple of partners, get some other psychics, work together, have this shop, maybe sell some metaphysical stuff. And my guides and angels stepped in and said, when you first came up here, what was your agenda? What do you want to do? That's the hardest question for a lot of people to do, right? what do you want?
I actually find that quite easy.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, what was interesting was it really transformed. I started with, what do you want? Then it turned into, what do I have? And then it turned in, what do I love? And
okay.
It just naturally unfolded in that direction. I went from want to have to love. And when I got to the love portion, I love this, I love that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, I couldn't even believe how much energy I had. Just thinking about what I loved, what I really loved to do, you know? And then it was easy to go from there of what I want in my life or what I would like to do or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I went back to the I want list, how much of that matched my I love list?
Oh, yeah.
And I really have to tell you, that unfolded as I was doing it. It was not something I had premeditated, you know. So,
I understand what you're saying, because when I got the shop, it was, I knew what I wanted. I was going to say, I knew what I wanted. And I was sitting there going, but it's kind of funny. I was sitting there looking at the thing going, every day I would walk by this thing, it was a blue aqua door. Just, I think it got brighter every day. And it was one of those things that I was so caught up in what I thought I wanted that they were presenting to me something that was going to be a lot. Because when I walked into this place, I said, it doesn't have any power. It's got this nasty-looking sink in the corner. And it was amazing how they looked at me and talked about solutions. Of really, you know, pushing it to the point of saying, solution, what's the solution here? Just to make it work for you. I mean, you said that you want to do readings. That's all you want to do is work with people, right? So what do you need a big old shop for? What do you need people to work with? And if you don't have a partner, there's nobody that you might mistrust. There's nobody who's going to stab you in the back. So therefore, it's all yours. And this is what you came here for in the first place, and now you got it. Maybe it didn't happen the way you thought it would happen, but I guarantee that this place is going to be a win-win situation for you, and it's going to definitely be in your best interest. I said, okay, I know for a fact beyond that point that every time I sit there and listened and didn't second guess myself and just follow through, they always guided me someplace where it was a whole lot better. Things got better. Things always got better. Things always fell into place. And that's why I was trying to get in touch with the situation. And it was funny though. I turned the sink into a freaking bookshelf, and then I actually went into a furniture shop to get a table. And I told my angels, I said, I have no budget. So it'd be great if I could just have a table fall in my lap, right? So I walk in this, so they guided me into this very expensive furniture store. And I was walking around going, okay, angels, I know you led me here for a reason. I'm just not seeing it yet. So this lady comes to me, and she's like, can I help you? I was like, yeah, do you have any more tables? And so she takes me in the back, right? And they're still like $100. And they're like little coffee tables, they're like $100. And I said, okay, angel, you know I don't have no budget. So what is, you know, I sit there and clear my mind, and I said, I know you brought me here for a reason, and I relaxed. As I'm relaxing, I turned around, and there's these tables in the corner. I looked at the lady, and I said, how much are the tables in the corner? She goes, oh, those are free. You can take as many as you want. So I was like, I see, once you make a decision and just follow through with it, it's just not that one thing that happens for you. There's many behind it, so...
So it sounds like it's the message that you're getting from my guys is just follow through with it.
Mhm. Exactly.
Okay.
Follow through with it. I think, you know, seriously, with the situation, just some people will call it blindly following guidance, but it's guidance is not blindly. Guidance is just the idea of trusting oneself. And that's what you're getting into the situation here, really trusting yourself and realizing, yeah, there are other people that are involved with this situation, but by you making the decision to do what you're going to do, everybody benefits from it.
Right. I totally understand that. Well, thank you very, very much. I appreciate your time. And I'll be listening in on the radio. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. All righty. Let's sit there and look at the schedule. Okay, guys. Oop. All right, let's check this out. Let's go on. It's like we were telling before today. There was this one I put up here, and it says prayer. It says, you know, basically, Dear Archangel Michael, please enter my dreams and replace fear with faith and trust. Let me be filled with strength, courage, and confidence. Thank you. Also, another one I like, too, as well, is Dear Archangel Raphael, thank you for healing and guiding all my relationships upon the path of love. which means everything and everyone you encounter by using this one prayer and working with Archangel Raphael, all those relationships will be upon the path of love. So therefore, you should be able to accomplish a lot of things by walking into those situations and being yourself, too, as well. My favorite one, too, was looking at some things here with romance angels. You know, I feel like there's also a lot of things going on relationship-wise this month for a lot of people. And I think that if you incorporate this one, too, which is romance angels are helping you right now. This one here says, "Dear guardian angels of my soulmate, thank you for preparing my soulmate and me for love, for giving us the motivation to make helpful life changes, and for arranging for us to meet. Thank you for helping us recognize each other and have the courage to say hello so that we can eventually develop into a truly intimate relationship. Thank you, thank you, and thank you, and thank you." And I think that's a very powerful prayer in itself, too, as well. Okay? It says, yes. I can. And then for the affirmation for today, to say this, yes, I can love and be loved. Joy and beauty fill my life. My heart is open. My heart is wise and mature. I feel my love attracting love. I attract the love I attract the love I desire. I rest in the arms of love. I am receiving love. Love comes to me. And check those things out, too. And the thing we were talking about before about the theory of Atlantis is the idea of realizing that there might actually be colonies, Atlanteans, that still exist underneath the ocean. There was one person pointed out, many people have pointed out, is the ideal that they think Atlantis is around Florida. Some people think Atlantis was around Japan, China, Iceland, Australia, many, many places. And I think it's one of those things we should look at the theory of saying, maybe they're all right. Maybe the problem here is this arrogance of thinking that's only in one place, not realizing a culture, a civilization as big and powerful as Atlantis probably had humongous influences over the planet itself, to the point where they actually even attracted aliens to come here to visit. You know, it's one of those situations of even returning. They came here, nothing here back in millions and millions of years ago. Just a crazy bunch of dinosaurs came back and they saw the civilization, Atlantis. Look at these guys, they're flourishing, pretty cool. And they found the city of Atlantis in the middle of the Mediterranean where Crete is right now. Plus, it was also this huge continent called Atlantis as well. And also there was colonies of Atlanteans around Iceland. And he left. And around Florida, around Iceland, around Australia, and they're still around Japan and China, throughout the world. There were more at one time, but they've combined. And now they're just those. They have this fantastic self-technology of force fields that actually protects them as they live under the ocean, which actually enables them. It's a really cool force field, too, because what it does is it acts one-on-one with the water itself. All right? Think about this. It works one-on-one with the water. So, therefore, nothing can penetrate it. But the Atlanteans have like a remote control you'd have for a television that they can actually use, but it's just a crystal, a mental, telepathic abilities. But they can actually go through this force field as we would go through a doorway back and forth. Alrighty? But it's also got stealth technology, so you can't find it. As I was doing some research and realized it was kind of amazing to watch these scientists get so excited about Atlantis, and then realize the article I was reading was 5 years old. What happened since then? I haven't heard anything from him. So it's one of those things where you feel like they also have another technology, which we've heard before, where we think it's aliens and technology and that kind of stuff. I'm not saying there isn't aliens out there abducting human beings and that in that kind of sense too. But I do feel like that some of the things that we're seeing with spaceships entering the water, you ask yourself, why would the spaceship enter the water to hide itself when you just saw them go in the water? Kind of defeats the purpose, doesn't it? But it could be more worldly, okay? Everybody's loved. Anyway, take a look at that situation. And if you really want to get a question answered or something like that, give us a call here at 646-721-9031. We do have a caller in the queue, and I just want you guys to think about those things. If you have any questions, please feel free to ask. And we'll go over even in depth about the situation that Atlanteans still exist, and there's actually been suggestions that even the president doesn't even know. All right, let's go to our caller. Hello, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, and how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Well, that's a good question.
I wondered if you could do a past life for me.
Hey, what's your name?
Mary.
Mary? Where are you calling from, Mary?
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. The key to paranormal energy and also the most, and some things mostly visited, supposedly by aliens itself. The most sightings of a lot of places is Pennsylvania, around Pittsburgh.
I'm like 100 miles north of Pittsburgh.
I'm just saying Pennsylvania itself has a tendency to have a lot of sightings and stuff with its rural areas and drawn out.
I'm rural.
Right. When you
somebody
going,
saw one a few years ago land in a field not far from where I live.
God, man. I'm thinking. Let me take a drink real quick and then talk about this morning, so. Okay. Let's see. One of the things I keep getting with you is a connection about 18. I want to say 1883. I get a connection to Colorado. I get a connection with Pikes Peak. I get the impression of being here, too, as well. I'm looking around.
I've been at Pikes Peak.
Mm-hmm. It's like a drawing that you need to go visit soon. Also, I see that you, it's almost like you used to live here around that time, because I see it being very primitive, as some people would look at it, as having, almost starting off as having a nice, well, I wouldn't say nice tent, but it's a tent, that eventually turned into a two-story house.
Yeah,
I keep getting over on, there's a little area up in Manitou Springs, right off the backside, and a lot of places were there, but not there anymore, but you wouldn't know that, because you know, these areas have a tendency, they pretty much take their own back very quickly and consume whatever was there at one time. But it seems like that have you ever had any problems in your chest area, lungs, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, major.
Okay, because
it
shows
that past life.
Yeah, because it's showing tuberculosis, like TB. That's why you came here. It was the ideal of the waters. It seems like your favorite spring here, which is still here, was the Twin Spring. It was just, at that time, it was just some water bubbling up out of the ground. But it seemed to have
so
property.
So if that breathing had from that life, is that I could get rid of it for good this life, saying I don't need it anymore?
Pretty much, yeah. It's one thing about the past life readings and stuff like that help you to realize it. A lot of times the residuals from past life that we bring with this on this one here that we need to let go of. And it's simply just realizing that and letting it go. So there's a lot of proof of that. I mean, it was a girl, it's an 8-year-old girl who was definitely fear of closets and confined areas. And they couldn't figure out why, because she had never had any kind of traumas in this lifetime that would explain that. So in the process of, what they were trying to do was they put her under hypnosis to do a regression in this lifetime to find out what it might be. Maybe it was something we didn't catch, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And actually in that progression, they took her back. And they told her, and this is how it works. They told her to through focus on her phobia, and then allow herself to go back to that point in her life where it became a phobia. something happened to her that created that, you know?
Yeah.
And next thing you know, they took her way back to 1887 or 1897, where she was actually buried alive in a closet. She was buried alive in a coffin. And it was so funny that once she realized that and where it came from and how silly it was to hang on to it, she didn't have that problem anymore.
So is that why that this past life you gave me came up today, so I can know that I can get rid of that completely?
Oh, yeah.
How that works?
And among other things, to realize that to take a really good look and examine your life and really look at those, because basically what it is, it's an imbalance within you that you're still feeding into fear. So it's the idea of take an assessment and look at yourself and ask yourself, how many other fears am I still feeding into?
Yeah.
You know? And it really, it's amazing how much, just by knowing certain things, it takes a lot of weight off your shoulders.
Okay.
And you realize, at that moment, you realize one thing. I can do anything. I can accomplish anything. All those goals and all those wishes and all those things I really wanted to do, I didn't think I could. All of a sudden, you have a different look at it.
Right.
It doesn't matter how it was.
Okay.
Because it's like a little situation. We were talking about this last night. We had a 90-year-old guy who, people were sitting there putting him down because, you know, the lady was sitting there kind of talking about a bill she'd gotten from the grocery store, and she thought that they might have overcharged her for something. So the 90-year-old guy picks up and goes, nope, everything's correct on there. And they're like, no, you're too old to figure that out. And then they realize he was also playing guitar, learning how to play guitar. He was doing all this stuff, and they're going, what are you doing that for? He goes, I'm still breathing, and I still got things I want to do.
Right.
So it's never too late, because he said, what if I live and be another 90 years old? I got things to do. I can't sit around. They did ask the guy one question. He goes, why are you wearing pajamas? And he had such a humor about himself. He just looked at me and says, I wear pajamas because you never know when a nap's going to come on. So, you know. You know, it's right.
Well, that's good philosophy.
Yeah, so it's just, but, you know, this is funny, too. You're there making fun of a guy who's in pajamas at 90 years old, right? But it's okay for a 16-year-old or a 30-year-old woman to go into a grocery store with pajama bottoms.
Yeah, and I don't get that pajama bottom thing. I'm sorry if anyone
really
is wearing them, but to wear them out, I don't get that, but that
really
might be my age showing.
I don't know. I look at him going, dear, what is it? And, you know, you never, are you looking for a man? I'm ready to go, you know. But you never know. It's like one of those situations, just look at him, and people haven't finished it to do things. But it's kind of funny how certain people do things and then they'll go make fun of somebody else.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, so it's like you look at the situation and say, what are you doing this for? Because I want to. Well, maybe that's why he's doing it too. But I think,
right.
I think we do put too much emphasis on age. And I think right now what's really going on in this country with this epidemic, as they call it, with Alzheimer's and stuff, first of all, we should take the word war off of it. We're declaring war. When you do those kind of things, I think the virus itself also says, okay, you want to fight me? I'm going to come out even stronger. And I think, like I said in the Bible, when you resist, it persists. And evil, you should never resist evil. Realize it's an illusion and walk through it. It's another fear. So anytime in our lives we do that, to realize one thing, I told a friend of mine, I'm 50 years old, and I said, and you're dating a 26-year-old?
Hmm.
And I said, what the heck? Are you there?
So age is an illusion.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Let's see something here. What Okay. Hello? That's weird. Got a hit? Got a good signal? All right. Hello? Area code 860, you there?
Yes. Why do I think that I just did that? Every time that I get on the phone with people, that happens. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello? Oh, that just sucks. Hello? Well, really sorry about that. I have no idea. We were picking up some kind of Morse code. And anybody in the chat room has to call in and get a call. Miss My Destiny, give a call, please. Then we got Ratty Mary. Hello, Ratty Mary. How are you? I'm just trying to sit there and, God, that was weird. Anyway, if everybody was in the chat, everybody was in the queue, could please call back. We had a minor infraction. I have no idea what that was. It was like we were picking up Morse code. I do not know. That was just really off the freaking cuff. Got things kicking in and that kind of stuff. Man, I tell you, lately it's been one of those crazy things where you just don't know what's up. Friday night, I think we had it was either Friday or Saturday, some of the shows were just kicking in like you would not believe. We had like 20 minutes of airtime. We actually had something to go on. Okay? And the reason we always talk about Atlantis is because we actually came up with some different theories right now with some things going on where we're showing people that to have two things going on, that kind of stuff, with putting some light on a subject that's actually going to materialize this year. Around toward the end of this year, there's actually going to be some evidence of Atlantis found that's going to be concrete to the point of proving a lot of people's theories that it wasn't one of those things, if it was, but if, to clarify, it still is. And you'll find yourself out, that kind of thing. The reason we talk about Atlantis is because it's usually the phones kick in to the point where we start answering questions and that kind of stuff. So we really haven't got that much deeper into it, or we've had some kind of difficulties. My Destiny, what is your name? I've talked to you before. And I was trying to sort of clarify the UFOs that people saw coming out of the water and some of the technology that we got going on. I was sitting there doing some research, and that's the reason I'm bringing it back up. Is we were doing some research from watching the show Atlantean Astronauts, and we were started looking at a lot of things and putting these things together, that they're putting the twist of the name alien astronaut on the top of the whole thing, but it could be Atlantean astronauts, the pyramids and all the those kind of things and the technology that goes along with it. They had a theory. You know, everybody said, what are you talking about this all the time for? Have you watched the History Channel? They talk about a lot of things over and over again, but they're always looking for different ways and different theories. And I started noticing that this they have this thing on Atlantean, on the whole thing about, they think, and I don't know if you guys heard this one before, but they've actually found saw marks, like a little hand saw, you know, those old band saws. They actually found marks like a little band saw, like a little hand saw. A circular saw on different things with on statues in Egypt and places like that. So this guy actually found these saw marks, and he found them in places where it wasn't like somebody was in there doing something crazy. Okay, when you sort of look at the situation, they've even come up with a theory that the reason the stones and stuff are put together in some of the places in the Maya temples and that kind of stuff is because they have the technology of actually taking rock and heating it up to actually mold it into place. They also sort of look at the situation when we had a show called The Last Atlantean. The theory was it Khufu who was supposed to be the pharaoh who actually built the Great Pyramid? And we do sit there and say, he built the Great Pyramid, because every time I've ever seen any kind of visions or anything like that, I see a lot of people working around the pyramid, but you never saw anybody working on it. And they have these pictures and stuff where they're trying to convince you how they did it. And you're like, okay, on certain aspects of certain things, they didn't do that. And plus, they also took that, they found these little ingots of air, they look like airplanes and stuff, and made mock-ups of them. And they actually do fly. But when I sit and look at these situations and look at these little pennants, you can almost see little situations where you could, where the way the thing was configured, that this thing was powered by something totally different than a gas-powered motor, almost like there was some kind of energy with it, which could be traced back to Atlantis. So let's go back and look at our queue and see if anybody called back. And we're hoping they do, and they're there. Hey, let's go in here. Let's go to area code 860. Welcome to the show, and how are you? What's your name?
Kimberly. Could you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hi. Why do I think I'm doing that? That thing that just happened to you is shut off? Right? I think I always blame myself for that. Because when I was in my truck, the same thing happened. The radio turned on. And things turn on by themselves.
Uh-huh.
So tell me, what is that?
It's the idea of walking into a room and you reach your hand up and the light switch, the thing hanging from the light fixture comes to your hands.
What?
Yeah.
Say that again? Hello?
No, I'm here. I'm just drinking something because I'm a throat. Pretty dry.
Did that thing just freak you out?
Because I'm sort of talking to this lady on the phone. And
I know.
It's like Morse code starts coming through and driving me crazy. And I'm sitting there going, okay, I couldn't get to stop doing it until finally I had to just disconnect and call back in.
I know.
And I sit there and go, okay, what was that? And I was sitting there trying to listen to it for a minute, and I'm like, okay, every time I start talking about, you know, the government has a Stargate program. Because Holly was talking about, you always talk about Atlantis, and I think there's so many ways to explore about Atlantis to try to look at the situation and go, what if we hadn't realized that these people still existed and they're living on the bottom of the ocean? And I actually had a couple of past life readings I did for somebody that we actually started picking up some people who actually were part of the Atlanteans that actually, when the city of Atlantis was destroyed, were wandering and kind of ran into the Egyptians, who at that point in time were just a bunch of people wandering in the desert. And it's always been, even in history, people have always wondered what was the motivation of these people who were just wandering the desert to start this great civilization. And if you look at some of the bands of Egyptians and even Mayas and some of these cultures, there are still descendants of them who have actually gone back to where they're just, you know, little pockets here and there of people. Not like it was before. And you're like, okay, they created this great civilization. A bunch of these people did. What was the motivation? And it seemed like people were asking questions about Atlantis. And so, okay, if Atlantis still existed, then why didn't these refugees go there? And I say, well, it's like the Roman Empire.
Are you okay?
Fell. Huh?
Are you okay? You're talking
you're
talking very fast.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Really, since the thing turned off, it sounded like somebody took over.
Okay, no problem. No,
yeah.
It's just one of those things. Energy right now, since I moved back to Colorado, my energy is a little bit higher than usual, but we're trying to balance and maintain, because I was actually doing a reading for me. I did a reading for myself yesterday, and it was like the first thing came out was chakra clearing. I was like, okay, I actually had a a meditational CD called Chakra Journey. And actually, it's got 7 tracks for the chakras, and it has an 8th one for grounding. And I think I should really start listening to that again.
Mm-hmm.
And start working on the whole thing. But like I said before, I was sitting talking about Atlantis, and we were talking about why certain refugees, when Atlantis, the city, just was destroyed, why didn't they go hang out with these other people? And it was just the ideal, not really knowing they existed. It was the ideal Atlantis was expanding, and was that not just an influence on the Mediterranean, but a worldly influence, where you can look through cultures, and it's kind of funny how you can find these things that everybody wants to tag on alien astronauts or alien technology or alien influences, when it could have been traced right back to the planet, to us, of coming from a great civilization. And a lot of people have actually put the two together as a metaphor that could also be a reference to the Garden of Eden. And Lemuria, the Lemurians, were actually before Atlanteans, but actually they actually evolved into Atlanteans. They were very high, advanced, and very knowledgeable in crystals and that kind of stuff. And about 2 or 3 years ago, they were having a debate about the whole thing, where scientists say that they couldn't have had the technology they had because you can't find crystals that big. Well, 3 years ago, they found those crystals. They're about the size of houses and the size of trees, almost 10 times bigger than a human being. So now they have the proof that you could actually have the technology that actually Atlantis had. So let's go and take a look at that. Oh, that just drives me crazy. So what's going on, guys? We got people in the chat room. Welcome. We got Melly 66, My Destiny, Holly. We got Ready Mary. We got Bite Radio Me. Hello. How are you doing? And what's this one for Saggy? I think that's what it says. Welcome, guys, and how you all doing? It's one of those things we're crossing some subjects, but we're really crossing a lot of things spirituality. Because it's like looking at a situation that we talk about Atlantis, well, it's almost like you want to stress the ideal of a spiritual link that's been trying to be brought back to the surface. And I was sitting telling a friend of mine, he said, do you think I'm crazy when I sit and say maybe there's the government has a nice Stargate program? But I said, every time they show me pictures that were supposedly taken by the Hubble spacecraft, sometimes I look at the situation and go, those pictures are so clear, almost like you're there taking the pictures themselves. So, you know, it's one of those things of taking a little bit deeper look into the situation and going, hey, what's up? That's all. And plus, we've been having, some of these planets are really messing with everything right now, I'm telling you. Almost to the point where you just want to go freak out. But we'll get through it. So check it out. Okay, anybody in the chat room who has any questions or would like to ask a question, please do so. We always encourage you to call because we like to have a nice conversation to talk about these things. But at the same time, if you still want to give us a call here, please do so. The number is 646-721-9031. We also like to give a nice little, what's the word? We're going to sit here and acknowledge our sponsor, Richard Palenga. He has a nice website called DivineBodyWash.com. Go check it out. And he's also saying for our listeners who donate $25 or more, he's going to give you a bottle of body wash. And if you donate $35 or more to the show, he's going to also throw in a body. He's going to give you a body too. He's going to throw in a bottle of body wash for you too as well. It's a great deal. So check it out. For all the donations, thank you. And for the ones that are coming, thank you. And just look at it this way. The idea of donating to the show helps us get the message out and that kind of stuff as we sit here and talk about my mind is open to the infinite supply of wealth. We're focusing on manifestation. Not just the idea of Atlantis itself. It's just the idea of pointing out to people and saying, are we trying to find a civilization that's gone? Or maybe the idea we're going to lock in and tap into a civilization that still exists. It was also said that the Roman Empire had outposts too, and it flourished. All those outposts flourished. Just the Roman Empire, Rome itself fell. It was just the idea of government no longer existed, that kind of stuff, and fell into disarray. It's the same thing with the idea of Atlanteans and that kind of stuff. They lost the city of Atlantis, but there was a lot of things still going on, and there was a lot of people that actually ventured out, as some people call survivors, but they actually knew what was going to happen, so they got the heck out of Dodge. and the technology that comes that they brought with them, and they influence a lot of cultures to do the same thing. So that's what we're just trying to point out to everybody else, that we all talk about alien astronauts as something of aliens coming here and kicking our asses and telling us to get up and say, hey, man, it's time to start your civilization, when it actually could be just simply the idea of a culture or a civilization on this planet that actually did the motivation for us. So therefore, we're still working together as all one big race, and we're all still doing the whole thing because it's been proven. And I'm tired. Sorry if I'm talking a little bit too fast. We're just going to slow it down. It's just the idea of getting very passionate about this whole thing. So we look at things and realize, could there be an advanced civilization and then other people throughout the planet that wasn't so advanced? Now, when we look at spirituality, we see many, many people on a different level of spiritual enlightenment and a different spiritual path. So the idea of having human beings on all different levels throughout the planet at that time, I don't think it's so far-fetched. So we look at the situation a different way. Okay, so we have all these other ones. But then, you know, the Atlanteans come in here and they see the Egyptians just wandering in the desert. And they go, well, hey, you know, let's get a little moat. Now, if you do any studying about the early Egyptian culture and the early pharaohs, it's almost like the Atlanteans got away from their way of life. They were very positive, very kind of thing. That, but they did have that side of them that was very, from all stems of life, there was that one side that if we don't have balance within our lives, it has a tendency to take over, and then you cause certain things. If you look at the first pharaohs of the old empire, the old kingdom, they were pretty ruthless and tyrants. And the ideal of Pharaoh itself is the ideal of God as a god. And how could you come off with that kind of smick if you didn't have something else that you could bring into the mix to make this culture look at you and go, okay, yes, you can be the Pharaoh because we're not going to sit here and mess with you because you're going to zap us. And it could be just simply people coming into a situation with more technology to where they would think that. So, and that's when they were just trying to bring everybody's mind is the idea. There's actually in the original writings of Plato, I think it is, where he's talking about Atlantis and the idea of trying to conquer Greece. And that's what I was talking about before, where I feel like some of the stories he put in there was a lot of, you know, emphasizing a little bit of drama there. And so it's like a little bit, it's like a mix of myths and fact that he put in there, because he did get the original story did come from if you could trace it back, I think it was someone had brought it to him from Egypt. So you can actually trace the story itself back to Egyptians. And then when you trace it back from Egypt any further, that's when you kind of lose the whole thing because there's no culture to go to. At least Egypt, we do have ruins and stuff that we can actually explore and that kind of stuff. But just to say that there wasn't great technology at that time, I mean, they've already found certain batteries and stuff. So the Egyptians did have an idea about electricity. And you wonder how they created the whole thing itself. And it's amazing that some of the things that we don't think, because they were actually talking about the boat pits that are around the Great Pyramid. They're starting to realize that maybe they wasn't boat pits. They're starting to realize that they were maybe saw pits, that they have these humongous saws where they're actually cutting these things in place. Because realistically, when you look at the whole thing, the Egyptians are trying to convince you, and they don't really change very well either when you come in with the different technologies and they don't want you to come and look. It was actually Edgar Casey said that there was a part in the Sphinx itself. I think it's on the left paw that you would find these great, almost like a great library that's that the Atlanteans put there. And actually with sonar technology, they have found a space in that hall. It's just the Egyptians will not let anybody go in there or do anything with that because it's a great monument. But I don't think they want us to go in there and find anything else that might dismiss what they already believe. And they have a hard time having any kind of open mind sometimes about those things. So think about that. And so if anybody wants to sit there and go over anything with if anybody wants to call and get a question answered, please do so. We're doing free readings today. We're doing some, We're also doing some past life readings too as well. So if you want to take advantage of that, give us a call here at 646-721-9031. Again, that number is 646-721-9031. We also brought up some meditations earlier, too, in the back of the book, where we want to sit there and say hello, Richard Palenga, who's our sponsor. And he has a website called DivineBodyWash.com. It's a very special concept of products, and you should check them out. And for our listeners, if you donate $25, he will give you a bottle of body wash. If you donate $35 more, he will give you also a bottle of body mist. So check that out. I also do private readings myself. And if you want to give me a call for a private reading, because right now for the month of March, we're also having a nice special ourselves. So go in there and check it out. That is, for a 60-minute session, it's only $33.33 for the month of March. Also, if you want to get a 90-minute session, it's only $77.77. If you also want to sit down and have a nice little sociable group reading of 5 or 10 of your friends in person, it's usually $150, but for this month, you can get it for only $77.77. That means all the people in the party, the group reading, will also get full readings as well. Some of those things are 2 or 3 questions. We're all going to throw in here, and we're going to, you know, take it and give, when I say full readings can take anywhere between 15, 30, 40 minutes. But we'll definitely give that person our complete invited attention, okay? We also have this new concept with Skype, where if you have a party in Washington State and we're here in Ohio, or sorry, if we're here in Colorado, we can still be there by Skype. All you have to do is set up a laptop on a table with a chair, and we can sit there and do readings for those people. We also have another one where that's for parties and group readings. You just set it up there where the camera can be pulled back a little bit. We can get the whole group of people in there if you like, or we can do it one-on-one, doesn't matter, but parties is one of the things. But we also have this thing called group readings where we all, like you have 10, 5 or 10 of your friends scattered throughout the United States or the country or the world, where we can all go. I can initiate a call, a group conference call where we can all be on Skype at the same time and we can do readings too. And like I said, those sessions are usually $150 one-shot fee that covers everybody in the party. But this month, we're only charging $77.77. And it's one of those things, is I think it's going to be a really great concept that we can be anywhere at any time and that kind of thing. And also, we can do the same thing. If you have a charity function or a charity party or whatever it is, we can be there. The only thing difference with those is charity functions, no charge, no fee. We come and we donate our time. And we also focus with you on how to manifest your goals of what you're trying to accomplish with that charity function. So give us a call. We'll help you in many ways. We'd be glad to be there. So give us a call at 740-500-8863 or through Skype at 740-601-9835 or contact me through my website, which is www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Also, with sponsorship that's going right now, for a flat fee of $40 a month, you can be a sponsor of the show and do like Richard's been doing, getting himself promoted in his website. If you're a person who just wants to, you know, just advertise on our show, we will do the same thing, promote your product, and it's only a $40 a month fee charge for that too. So just give us a call. We'd be glad to sit down and work with you and that kind of thing. So if you really like what's going on and you want to keep it going, or maybe yeah, you think you can really help us to boost up a little bit more, we would like to take those Friday, Saturday, and Sunday shows and boost them up to 3 hours and really bring on some other things with the situation that's going on. So like I said before, the information is call us at 740-500-8863 for those things on my personal line. So let's get back to the show. And if you want to give a call on here, please do so, 646-721-9031. Also, I want to throw out that I do relationship counseling and life coaching. I also work with children with gifts and work with children in all kinds of different formats. So if you're having difficulties and you're looking for an alternative way of doing the whole thing, we have a very high success rate, so please give us a call on those things too. With those situations of families and kind of stuff, we do work with your budget, and we will definitely sit down with the win-win situation for both of us so you can get the information and what you need to do, but everybody walks away with a smile on their face. So give us a call on those at the personal line, 740-500-8863. Like I said before, with the situation, I also want to put a plug in there for me. And then the idea I work, I actually do write a column for this magazine called Bella Spree Magazine. So go check that out. I think it's balancefreemagazine.com. And I'm also belong to a group called Diamond Psychics, which is also Bella Salisbury's project and that kind of thing. And actually, go check out the magazine. Go check out her. Fantastic woman. And this magazine came out in January. Fantastic magazine. I think it has a lot of knowledge and stuff in it, so go check it out. And if you're looking for any kind of insights on the whole thing, I think you're going to find it there. And see what you think. Tell us all about it. Also, with the situation of the shows, right now we are on 7 days a week. And so Mondays and Wednesdays, we're here at 11 a.m. Mountain Time. And on Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, that is 8 p.m. Mountain Time. So check it out. Come on down. Get your questions ready. If you have a topic that you'd like to discuss with us, too, or bring up that kind of thing, please do that, too. And here soon, as we settle down and let the dust fall, we're going to bring back the midnight show that we used to have on Fridays and Saturdays called the Midnight Roundtable, where everybody who comes on the show has a voice. All the mics are open. We want everybody to know that your mics will be open so that as we're doing readings and discussion, everybody has a voice. Even when we're doing readings, you can also sit there. You think you are intuitive or you're picking something up, you're also invited to also share with us, too, what you're picking up. So it's a good experience for everybody. So if you're a person who's thinking you can do really good readings or you think you're a psychic, you're going to come to on a round table or even come on the show and test those abilities. Maybe we can start you off with your own little situation of getting your career started. You never know. Anyway, we're still waiting for callers calling in. We still have 48 minutes. If you just tuned in, this is Psychic X Journeyman. My friends call me Donnie. And this is my show, Psychic X Journeyman, Spiritual Link, here on Blog Talk Radio. It's now 12:12 p.m. here in Manitou Springs, Colorado. It's March 19th, 2012. So, hey, if you want, we got plenty of time. We've got 47 minutes left in the show. Actually, 43. Anyway, 47 minutes and 40 seconds. So give us a shout in here. It's 646-721-9031. Let's go and check in the chat room, see what's up. Yeah, I see we still have some people hanging in there. Hey, look at this. We got four set. Anybody else got a question or the one I'd like to ask? Let's see. If anybody would like to come on the show and just get a really good debate about this, I think it's one thing we need more of is people come in here and give me their opinion about what they think about Atlantis. And I'm going to talk about the whole thing because actually a couple weeks ago I did some really, really extensive, you know, work on I watched a couple episodes of Atlantean of Alien Astronauts, and I was looking at certain things when they were talking about these civilizations and how they cut the bricks, and we were talking about Atlantean, not the Atlantis, but they were talking about Egypt, about doing the Great Pyramid, and they felt like it was kind of crazy for everybody to think that they could actually cut those stones. You know, it's like basically what someone's going to do, like they said, someone's going to tie in a stone this big and this small, so get it. Be able to actually be able to cut those things that precise without actually having some kind of technology of saws, lasers, or something. Kind of baffles the mind. So the trace is going back a little bit further. I understand people like to sit there and look at the alien astronaut thing, but I think we should also have a little bit of confidence in our own civilization, don't you think? So if anybody wants to call and give me your insights of what you think from what you understood. I mean, well, I think we've all seen that show before, the Alien Astronaut show, and I think it was actually might be still on. And where they're covering certain things and that kind of stuff, looking at certain people in that situations, I think that there's some kickers in knowing that one. I was sitting there looking over some things, too. I was sitting there focusing on changing some things around. And the romance angels. Kicker in the head there. And we're talking about some affirmations and stuff like that. And the idea of bringing up alien astronauts, right, or just bringing up the whole idea in general to think about it, right? It's kind of interesting. But we have affirmations. We have meditation. We have manifestation. We have all these things that we're talking about in a spiritual sense of tracing it back to Atlantis and Lemuria, working with crystals, which a lot of us are starting to really do now too, with crystals, and starting to realize the capability and the potential of what you can actually do with crystals. So that was interesting in itself, that we're actually almost like going full circle, aren't we? To sit there and look at the situations and say, hey, alien astronauts, could Bigfoot be traced back to Atlantis? Can the Yeti be traced back to Atlantis? Could there be the idea of the culture and civilization, they were all mingled and brought together in one place, that when certain things started happening, they were just scattered all over the planet itself? And then we do have Star Wars. We have the Yeti. Maybe the Star Wars, maybe that's what that was. The truest form of Bigfoot hanging with humans. So, you know, the idea of looking at things. And when you sit here and look at some of these people in this technology of Star Wars, and you look at the outfits just the outfits, the costumes, and the stuff that were in these movies and things, it's amazing how they kind of resemble a lot of visions and stuff that people have seen of Atlanteans being transferred in these situations, but being depicted as far away, not here. And I think we should take it back and look at just that way. What do you think? What about Edgar Cayce wrote about Atlantis? He was raw, Ta, from Atlantis. Yes, sir. Let's take a look at that situation. We were talking about Khufu. Khufu was one of the last Atlanteans who actually, with his sons and everything else, and it was showing that with the idea of building the pyramids and all the things that went along with that, that Khufu disappeared. And actually the vision came across saying that he actually died of an aneurysm because of his arrogance of actually building the Great Pyramid using his telepathic abilities to put these blocks and stuff into place. And when you start looking at the situation of seeing such things about salt pits, about boat pits, and you start seeing things differently, it makes you think. Edgar Cayce was also a very, very intense and very gifted man, too, who can actually see things as in auras and things like that, where he always knew what was up. He also had really good, some of his readings were like off the scale about medical advice and that kind of stuff, which is kind of crazy today, but people shy away from that kind of stuff, which is actually the foundation of doing metaphysical work and doing readings for people, isn't it? The idea of medical, you know, people don't want to talk about medical or nothing on the sites and stuff because they don't want to get sued. Well, I think we should look at the situation and say, hey, you know something, man? This is the foundation of readings and stuff, of helping people change their lives. You have to touch on medical stuff from time to time. The idea to realize that all this medical or certain ailments within your body are caused by usually imbalance of energy, emotions, going amok, and all the situations that happen with that, you know? So it's kind of amazing. But when I sit here and look at the thing, Edgar Cayce was the one who walked up to an elevator one time because he could see auras. He walks up to the elevator, and he refuses to get on the elevator because when he looked at the people in the elevator, either they didn't have any auras or their auras were so close to the body. And he was like, something told him not to get on that elevator, which was good because 5 minutes later, that elevator, the cable snapped, and the elevator went crashing to the ground. Kaboom! And Edgar Cayce could have been the Mr. Kaboom going along with everybody else, which is kind of amazing, too, you know? Because when I sit there and look at the situation, the people who had the auras that were close to the body survived. And the people whose auras did not exist did not. They died. They moved on. So, you know, when you start thinking about it, you can sit there and snare at a lot of things, but the man was connected to Atlantis in so many ways that you could look at it as saving his own life, saving himself and going down the wrong path. I'm not saying as a person, you might have made some mistakes, But did he really? He actually predicted back in the 60s that the ideal, okay, of Atlantis and evidence of it, of Atlantis, would be discovered. A lot of people say that didn't happen, but it did seem like in the 60s and the 70s, the thing about Atlantis came to the surface a whole lot more than it ever had. So the ideal, maybe what he was picking up on, was not the ideal of evidence in the situation of actually physical evidence, which I think the Benemy wall is something that I was sitting and looking at as some kind of evidence of part of that culture. But on the same note, there was also a new awakening that you could look at imagination, or was it suppressed memories that are now coming to the surface? Because people say, hey, why talk about Atlantis a lot anymore? I said, once you go do this research, it's amazing how many people have actually gone on this road to find it. And for some reason, they get sidetracked to go somewhere else. There's some people still working on it. But it's like they're baffled by some of the things they keep focusing on, and then lose that focus. So it's something you should go look at yourself. And the ideal of the situation with half animals and half humans is the ideal of Atlanteans with certain people. Because, you know, with each culture, you do have people who have a tendency to stem off and do their own little thing and exploit. And we got the situation where it's the Atlanteans that were trying to do their own little thing. And it's like when we sit here and look at runways and all this stuff, this primitive stuff that's across this planet, you know, you ask yourself, why? Why build with huge stones that weigh tons? Why build statues that weigh tons? There was also a theory that was also coming across, too, that these big, tall, triangled pieces of stone were all one piece, and they were hoisted up in the air, where actually the pyramid, the Great Pyramid itself, was actually, can be depicted as an engine. And some people look at the ideal, and actually Tesla said that there was a great energy around the Earth that could be tapped into that was endless, that was actually more efficient and less dangerous than any other energy we ever had. It's just one of those things where he never got really to tap into it. But was it one of those things, too, where it's a person who has suppressed memories, that these things were coming to him in a vision? And Edison and all these guys all said the same thing, that they would get visions, or they'd be in this little state of in between sleep and non-sleep or daydreaming, and they would come up with these ideals, these theories, this stuff would come to them. So how do we know that it wasn't connecting into spirit, but it could also be spirit and one connecting into suppressed memories of things that we already did? Because even the Bible says nothing has ever been invented, it has never happened before. So in those situations, we can sit here and say it's just redoing, reinventing, and bring it back, just like that. But the ideal, the situations that we've done ourselves, we know there have been gene splicing and all kinds of stuff. We have cloning and those kinds of things. And how do we know that? The reason we don't see a lot of evidence of it is because Atlanteans tried it, did it, moved on. We see things in Greek, Roman philosophies and all the writings and stuff about half animals, half gods, or even Egyptians, we have the same thing as well, too. So it's one of those things of, you know, hybrids and things like that, giants and those kind of things, where it could just be the ideal that certain things are happening, even in our civilization now, where, you know, things happen, we can't figure out why. They could be traced back maybe further than we think. You know, they want us to turn and try to put the Atlanteans in about 900 years ago, when we have this, the Mayans, I think, Mayans? No, not Mayans. Shoot, there was that one civilization that had the bull. I can't remember the name of it. Shoot, what is it? Let's see. I think they were also in the Mediterranean, too. They were a great financial country, civilization, economic. They were a powerful economic civilization, great power over that civilization, over that area at that time, too. But I still think we should take it back about 11,000 years ago, and realize in some sense of the word, like we see in the flying carpet. It was also said that King Solomon had a magic carpet that he used to go and check out things. There have also been proof of and evidence, physical evidence, of maps that were made back in the day that are as accurate as ours today. The only difference is Iceland doesn't have ice on it. So that means that's got to go back pretty far and pretty, you know. So these things make you think, don't they? So the ideal of really when you look in history or even look in Roman and Greek philosophy, you'll see that there are animals, but they're half animal, half humans. And I do believe that that's true, but you don't really see a lot of them. I think they were just something that they were experimenting with, or even the ideal of creating their... It's like putting yourself in a situation saying, can I worship a god and there's certain things going on, that kind of stuff. Can I, as a person, maybe create one of these things? And the idea of creating life and the ideal of what was going on, that you have a couple of people who want to sit there and almost... The Egyptians, the pharaohs were really good at that, wanting a lot of attention. So it wouldn't be surprising that the ones who actually were experimenting with the animals and humans and the Atlantean, when Atlantis, the city itself, came to an end, ventured out to Egyptians, very ruthless pharaohs too as well, right? And then we have also in that culture half animals and half humans. So here we are, tracing it back to Atlantis once again. So it makes you wonder. Now, I've seen so many things that make you really go away from the idea of alien astronauts and start looking at the situation. How much influence did Atlantis have on this world? It still does. And maybe there are still some out there. Because when you look at the Egyptians and the ones that are around today, you still kind of wonder how they actually accomplished the great things that they did. I'm not saying they're not intelligent people. I'm just saying with the technology and that kind of stuff, to go to be that powerful, to go to one extreme of not being, because we have a lot of cultures today where you see them, they just keep getting, and they keep progressing and going further. They don't go and progress to a big old top and then topple down without even having the adventure to go back there, without even having the know-how how they got there in the first place, where there's somebody out there who still has that technology or has that knowledge within their head. They pass down to their offspring to the next generation. And it just didn't happen that way. But we don't have people coming to us and saying, my great-grandfather passed this down to his great-grandfather, and da-da-da-da. And I have this wisdom of our culture that when we have this great civilization, this great empire called the Egyptian great kingdoms of Egyptian history, we don't have that. And if you sit and look at a lot of tribes in Africa and those kind of things, they seem to be able to verbally pass down from generation to generation to generation that they can tell you what happened thousands and thousands of years because of this information being passed down. How come we don't have that with Egyptians that still exist today? Or the Mayas, the descendants of these great civilizations, there is no technology that came down with them, which I find very hard to believe that they wouldn't pass this down unless there was another culture, another civilization that came in to influence them, to give them the motivation, gave them the skills to do so, but never really taught them everything. You know, just said, if you do this, this will happen. If you do that, let's throw a couple of salves over here. Let's do this, and da, da, da. And all these things come into place. Makes you wonder. So we just put it out there for you to think. A little bit of, you know, information to go, here, check this out. And you see what you see and what's coming up with that kind of thing. You know, it's not something we want to just say, this is fact. We do believe it is fact, but so also one of the things we question and we ask you to go out there and do the same thing too as well. So go check it out, my friend. Go check it out. You can stick around, watch the rest of the show. I'm telling you right now, it's one of those things we're going to sit and go over some things like the idea of the Egyptians, want you to go and study the early kingdom, the old kingdom. You'll see that these guys were tyrants. They wanted to emphasize. They wanted to sit there. They wanted to sit there. And these people are like, really, like, boom. You can see some fear, and you see some things going on. But look at these great architecture, the great architecture back then, the buildings, the kind of things. Yes, there were some things that you look at the pyramid, and when they built the pyramid, the Red Pyramid, where people will look at it and say, well, it kind of collapsed on itself. But if you go inside, it looks a little bit different. Almost like, did it really collapse upon itself? Because it still stands, and it's still there. After thousands and thousands of years, and when you go inside and you look at it, you really don't see the evidence of what they're trying to sit there and convey on the outside. So maybe in the sense of the word, it could have been built that way. There's also another pyramid that you don't hear a lot about because it's been dismembered. But when you go there, all you find is a hole in the ground, which you would find back in the day when they built the pyramids, that they would actually build the chambers and stuff first and then build the pyramid on top of that. This one here is like, right, it's like, I think it's in alignment with the Great Pyramid. It's a little higher than the Great Pyramid, but it's actually built up on top of a hill. But it's very passionate. And the person who built those things, too, at first, back in the early 1800s, they found pieces and bits in here and there. And they thought maybe that somebody came in, a pharaoh or something, and dismembered this pyramid because they didn't like the original pharaoh who actually built it. But then they found out later on with the ideal that archaeology, that somebody made a mistake. And this was in the early days of archaeology. They made a mistake because they felt, since they saw these things going on, they'd be gone. Well, they found out later on that actually this pyramid was dismembered. And actually you can find the stones that were in this pyramid throughout Cairo, of buildings they've built. But they actually went to this pyramid to get the stones that they actually needed to build buildings in the city itself. But archaeology at that time kind of messed up on the whole thing and think it was a pharaoh that was dismarked, or I guess the Egyptians had a way about making people disappear by defacing whatever they built to the point of also defacing their names and taking them out. But if archaeology back in the day can make mistakes like that, then the ideal, what we're looking at in situations of theories, that the ideal, maybe we should take a different approach to this Atlantis theory again, to realize that maybe we've heard so many things about the continent of Atlantis, the city of Atlantis, and maybe realize again they both exist. They both exist because it's been proven in the Atlantic Ocean that when they found these big valleys and stuff, they started realizing they wasn't valleys. They were mountains that once were above the water. And actually, if you read the definition of Atlantis and the great mountains and the great valleys and all the things that go along with it, when you take a snapshot of this thing, it starts to look very familiar, you know what I'm saying? And then we have the city of Atlantis. When we look at Crete and the Mediterranean, it fits the bill too, where the building, where it's all done and everything like that too as well. So we look at a lot of things, and then people start finding evidence. I think I found Atlantis. Is it in my car? You know, I'm just saying, with the situation, when you look at these things, everybody's thinking they found it when they could all be right. We're just finding the complete picture. And we know for a fact that when you put a puzzle together, there's many puzzles and many pieces. And once you put those pieces together, then you get the whole picture. That's all we're saying. When you have a tendency to do visions or do past life readings with people, and you actually find people who come from these cities under the ocean, who came up to visit or just to get away from the city for a while, it makes you wonder and makes you think, if they could do that, more than likely they probably could still exist. Do we really want to find them, and why do we want to find them? Is it just the idea of curing our curiosity? I don't know. And if we never ever find them, does it really mean it doesn't exist? Or is it some one of those things that just wasn't meant to be, and the point of actually leaving it alone? That's the point. Sometimes set the ideal, can we do it, but should we do it? And you put it back in a situation that you start thinking again, why am I doing this? I believe that there's a city underneath the ocean near Florida that is has a stout technology, that the force field doesn't just keep the water out, it also keeps them in darkness so you never will find them. I also believe there's one in Iceland, one near Japan, one near China. I keep always seeing one near Australia too because of the fascination with mermaids. Okay? And also the Pacific Ocean, which is wide open. And there's a lot of Pacific Ocean that hasn't really been explored. The same as California. I think it's the northern forests. They're so huge, there's been said that there's a lot of that human feet have never touched to this day. So the idea of all these discoveries out there are still waiting to be discovered. So therefore, go out about it. But just sit there and look at people and go, okay, we got these five or six civilizations still existing that originated from Atlantis. How do they actually get back and forth? Or how do they communicate with each other? Do they know about each other? And the answer is yes, they do. It's the idea we talked about before, Stargate technology, to have a smaller Stargate where you can actually go from city to city without being detected. Also, we see spaceships. Are these spaceships? Are they just transportation from one end of this Earth to the other? Like we said before, why would you want to try to hide yourself by putting yourself in the water when we just saw you go there? Kind of defeats the purpose, doesn't it? It's like the same thing out there in Peru. When they were standing there going, look, alien astronauts came here because there's a runway and there's markers so they can find themselves. I'm sitting there going, I'm sorry. If I was an alien coming from another planet, I've seen Star Trek. Have we all not seen Star Trek? They have sensors. They have visuals. They can see where they're going. They're not flying around in the darkness, are they? No, they're not. So you see, look at the situation. If I came from a great distances from another planet, ask yourself one question. Would I need a runway to land? If I had sensors, do I need markers? Primitive markers, okay? Because you say, oh, there's Florida. I can see the marker from here. No, I don't think so. So I took a look at the situation. I said, hey, guys, this is a great show that you have on History Channel. I just think we need to take it one step further and explore it deeper to ask ourselves, what does it, is it more something you can trace to this planet than you can to another planet? Because, okay, great, aliens came here. I'm not dismissing that aliens didn't come here. I'm just not really going to buy into the situation that runways and all this other stuff was created so aliens could land. Or even come back. I get the impression it's the influences from aliens that spawned a civilization to say, hey, we can do that too. Even to the point we trace it back even further and realize a civilization like that existed called Lemuria and Atlantis. That aliens came here and shared their technology together. Like a lot of cultures do. Like we got Star Trek, people exchanging technologies, working with each other, advancing each other's cultures, not advancing just one. Okay? I mean, when you sit and put those together, then we can sit and look at Atlantis in a different way. So everything seems to fall into place. And then we start realizing that maybe these are Atlantean runways in the infancy of their programs of flying, because we actually found airplanes and stuff like that. Alien technology, you know, if you came here, let's say that I came here from a UFO. I think what I would do is I would exchange the technology that I have now with you. I'd say, ooh, you don't want to go that route. Just jump the gun a little bit here. If that's the route you're talking about. But they have pictures of, they think they're aliens flying in spacecraft, like Apollo and that stuff here. And I'm thinking, no, I think it's Atlantean. Or it's Atlantean, Lemurian. A culture here that's actually creating their own space program. their own astronauts by the technology that they were taught, okay? It makes a lot of sense in a certain way, though. And then we came up with the technology of flying saucers. Flying saucers could be, but we're actually, from what I've seen, some of the evidence that's come across the board about certain things with those things, too, that experimenting with flying saucers and that kind of technology, where it's actually been proven that when you heat up copper, it has a tendency, I think, puts off a really strong or really bright light. And a lot of UFOs have had that, where, you know, it's like a lot of base technology based in copper and electrons, and just the idea of the format itself having a different kind of format of a motor that could create not just the idea of energy itself, but it could also create lift. And a lot of things that go along with it. There's a lot more to it than that, deeper in detail, but I'm just saying, it makes you wonder about the situation. Okay, you can say alien technology, but it could be a combination of both, because we know for a fact that the Egyptians did have knowledge of electricity. They had batteries. They had these batteries. It hasn't been really looked into exactly what those batteries were for, but there are some things in some of the tombs and some of the places and the temples and that kind of thing where you see this technology where it looks like they're using light, and actually it's been proven that when you go into those places, you don't find soot anywhere. They would use torches deep within these things, which you think they would, and plus the idea, the deeper you get into these tombs and these caverns and that kind of stuff, the idea of even having a torch because of the oxygen level goes down, so it would be kind of hard to keep a torch going in the first place. So it makes you wonder exactly what they're going on. And I don't think, sometimes in certain technologies that I've seen, people are saying, well, okay, they didn't have lights. They didn't have electricity. But see, we're thinking in a primitive way, too, as well. But they had to have cords and cables and all kind of stuff. But we know today that we have these certain kind of lights, which you crack them, smack them, and they illuminate. So maybe we're not really allowing ourselves to expand our minds to realize the technology could be simply as illumination. We have chemicals and stuff with these little tubey things we got where we take them with us. And some people take them when they go mountain climbing, when they go down into caverns and stuff. They use these lights and stuff to illuminate their areas to go down into these caverns and stuff so they can see where they're going. How we know they didn't have the same kind of technology that they shared because the aliens coming here. That we already have the technology from Atlantis to come here and go, okay, we're going to build these great pyramids and that kind of stuff. And then these aliens come along, too. It's out, hey, you guys are doing really good. Here, you want to use something different than what you're thinking about using. These mirrors are not really kicking it. The mirrors did exist. We've seen the mirrors, these copper mirrors that they had, to try to eliminate these tunnels. But it could be the ideal, like I said before, two people being attracted to each other and actually advance each other's cultures. So they go, we got these glow sticks. So take one of these suckers with you and eliminate that little sucker down there. Whichever way you want to look at it, I think we should open our minds to the situation and say, well, we're talking about Atlantis again. No, we're saying Atlantis, but we're bringing so much more to the table and saying, hey, how much influence, how much technology? What is up with the situation? Was it Atlanteans influenced by aliens, or was it Atlanteans and aliens working together? And then the idea of certain people leaving. There's actually been pyramids spotted on Mars. There's also been valleys. There's also been canals. And the canals are also starting to look more man-made or influenced, I'm saying, what are we going to say here? So, you know, the idea of looking at Atlantis and that kind of stuff, and the reason we're so freaking dead-bent on getting to Mars, because maybe in some sense we're aware we've already been there. We're looking at a different technology, and the idea of Atlanteans getting to going in their space travel and that kind of thing, of using different technologies of crystals. And if you look at the idea of Star Trek itself, in Star Trek they talk about crystals, lithium crystals, as a power source. So, you know, so we're seeing these things influenced in certain movies and shows, franchises of Star Trek, in Star Wars and the crystals. I mean, it's been even said that the things that we see in Star Wars, the lifesavers and this kind of thing, because that's crystal technology. So, you know, why is there so much influence of crystal technology? If it didn't come from somewhere, the source could be traced back, because people think it's very fascinating, in the sense of the word, when someone could pick up a Lantern guide who's a medical doctor from the day that when Edgar Cayce actually comes out and does certain things, there was actually, I mean, very natural thing. That's why we have a hard time with Plato's story of the Atlanteans were going to conquer, or I think it was either to conquer or fail the conquering of Greece, of certain things as a civilization going downhill, when it was just the ideal, there could have been inner workings in that that could have caused a great fall. But at the same time, we're just saying, when you look at the situations of what Edgar Cayce picked up, and there's several other people who pick up on these Atlantean guides, it's always medical. And it seems like they were more into medical, natural cures, just natural massaging, and a lot of things that we have today that we might have thought might have been originated from Japan and other places that could have been even traced back even further than their cultures. And some of their cultures are really going back there too. But acupuncture is something that goes back 4,000 years. But, you know, it would be kind of crazy if you could actually find a connection that actually takes it even further back to that, where you find it comes from Atlantis. And even Atlantis could actually explain why there are different cultures. As in the ideal experimenting with, you know, the human condition, the human body, just certain curiosities that actually created certain civilizations that spun off. And when Atlantis and this little thing shot off, that's the reason we have outposts or different little colonies away from Atlantis itself, is people and their opinions and how they feel about certain things just spun off. Started their own little thing, and Atlantis was like, we like what we got going on here, so you want to do that, you go off and do what you want to do. And even though they still kept in touch with each other on the higher levels, not everybody knew anything, but I mean, it's like you living in a city in Ohio, you really wouldn't know what was going on in San Francisco. You might know it exists, but you don't know what's going on there. And then when you decide to move to another state, another city, you didn't forget about San Francisco. It just wasn't in your agenda. So it makes perfect sense. So, hey, guys, we got 13 minutes, 12 minutes. I'd love to sit down and do a reading right now with somebody. So if you want to give us a call in here, please do so. 646-721-9031. And thanks for all the people in the chat room. If you have any questions, I urge you to call in and let's sit down and answer a couple questions for you. If you have some opinions or questions about what we're talking about today, please do so. And people say Atlantis, so we're going to bring some more subjects in the situation and go, Bigfoot. Could Bigfoot be traced back to Atlantis? Could we actually take everything that we look at as a mystery in this world right now that we're trying to figure out, as you can see on the History Channel, Discovery Channel, could it all be traced back to one source? And also, could Atlantis be the Garden of Eden? Those are the things I would like to explore in the next couple of months with this show. So the idea of coming in here and that kind of thing, and ooh, talking about Atlantis again, and kind of, you know, just sit back and open your mind and let things resonate with you. It's the same thing when we have Friday, Saturdays, and Sunday shows, and Tuesdays and Thursdays when we're doing readings and stuff. We do more than just readings. We go with the flow. Are we talking about relationships again? Probably so, because relationships are very important. Go to my column in Bell Spree Magazine called Spiritual Insights to Relationships. We talk about the idea of a list. We talk about certain things of clarification and detail. We also talk about the ideal that nothing's going to work unless you focus on you, too, as well. So that's where it all begins. It all originates. And Mitchy was a guy. I'm not going to take God out of the equation. No, I'm not. I'm just saying God made you in the image. So the idea, when you connect with yourself, you connect with God. When you connect with God, you connect with yourself. It's the idea of taking a simple meditation and saying, bow your head, focus on the heart, and then focus on the essence of space right behind the heart, and say to yourself, I am love. I am love, I am love, I am love. And then go one step further. I love, I love, I love. go one more step further and say, when I love God, I love myself. When I love myself, I love God. I am love, I am love, I am love. I love, I love, I love. Therefore, I love myself. And when I love myself, I love God. When I love God, I love myself. I am love, I am love, I am love. I love, I love, I love. When I love God, I love myself. When I love myself, I love God. Or if you want to change it to I love myself, I love God. I love God, I love myself. I love myself, I love God. I am love, I am love, I am love. I love, I love, I love. I love God, I love me. I love me, I love God. If you feel a tingling sensation in your stomach and your body, you're doing it right, so keep going. Let's see what you can, how far you can go with the whole thing, because you can't do too much, but you can't do too little. That's when you give up, and you're just like, okay, I don't know if I'm doing it right. Just keep doing it. A lot of times, they'll get that feeling that resonates with you. It takes some time. So just kick it in there, and you'll be fine. We're still looking over some other things, too, if I can find it. Most people are looking for soulmates, right? We're sitting looking for a situation, and we say certain things will open ourselves up. So people talk about finances and love and that kind of thing. So there's some great affirmations, okay? My mind is open to the infinite supply of wealth. I allow it to flow freely and generously into my life. Money is good. Money is energy. Money flows to me easily. The universe is my benefactor. I am fully supported, making what I love to do. Okay. That is one of those crazy things. So this, take a break.
Now the wind.
Well, hi everybody, how you doing? I'm sitting there, sorry about the we got disconnected again, man. It's like, well, why? I don't know what it is, the energy or whatever it is. Crazy, isn't it? Well, I want to thank everybody for being here. And thank you for all the people who called in, and thank you for all the support. And please, donate for all the donations you get. Richard will give you a bottle of body wash from his website, divinebodywash.com. They also throw in, if you're $35 or more, he will also throw in a bottle of body mist. So give it a shot. That website again is www.divinebodywash.com. Check it out. And for all of our listeners out there listening in, if you donate $25, he will give you a bottle of body wash. If you donate $35 or more, he will throw in a bottle of body mist. Okay? Thank you. I also do readings too as well. So give me a call at 740-500-8863 or 740-601-9835 or go to my website, www.psychicxtrainingman.com. Don't get discouraged when you see the prices. That's what I normally charge, and I'm well worth it. But I am a person who will work with your budget, plus make a deal. I have never turned anybody down, and I don't see me ever doing that again, ever, if any. Okay, so I'm one of those people, when you cross my path, I want to make it happen, make it work. So keep that in mind, and let's do it. All right, you'll have a great night. May God and the angels bless you every day. This one is one time. May God and the angels bless you every minute of every day. Give love where love is given. And have a fantastic week. And we'll see you again here Wednesday at 11 a.m. Mountain Time. We'll throw a little bit about Atlantis and that kind of stuff, but we're here to sit down and do readings, so please call us in. Please call in and get those readings, okay? That number is 646-721-9031. Thank you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.